thank you for the opportunity again to study your word. And we ask that you would open your word up to us, that you'd speak to us. Lord, we ask that we be transformed as a result of studying and applying your word. So, Lord, we just commit this time into your hands. Amen. Okay, I'd like for us to look at John 15 again. And probably many of you probably know or have heard of the last discourse of Jesus. That's kind of the fancy term for it. And it's really John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, five chapters in John, that's basically a message that Jesus gave to his disciples on the night of the Lord's Supper. We probably all have heard of the Sermon on the Mount, and that's a very important message that Jesus gave. But this message that he gives in John 13 through 17 is actually longer, five chapters. And it's Jesus' last words to his disciples before going to the cross and leaving them with a mission to spread the good news around the world. Of course, they still, even though Jesus had been telling his disciples, listen, it's necessary for the Son of Man to be delivered up. He's going to die. He's going to resurrect in 3 days. They did not want to hear that at all, did they? And just like a lot of times, we don't want to hear things. But Jesus gives them this message. And actually, it's one of my favorite parts of Scripture. I never get tired of reading and studying it because I see things all the time that are fresh. But anyway, let's go to John 15. Actually, last week we looked at verse 11. This week we're going to look at verse 9 and 10. And let me read it for us. Just as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So I'd like for us to talk this morning a little bit about abiding in his love. What's that about? It was actually a key part to what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples the night of the Last Supper. And I think it's important for us as well. So abiding in his love, what does that mean? Well, first of all, I think it's probably important to realize that God is love. Is there a verse that says that? Yes, there is. There's actually several. 1 John 4:8 is one of those verses. Let's take a look at that. And I think that should be up there. I'll just read it up there. It says, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. See, God is the author of love. He is the source of love. Now, in the Greek, in which the New Testament is written, Greek, you know, God designed for his word, especially the New Testament, to be written in Greek. And one of the reasons is Greek is probably one of the most, at least the Old Testament or New Testament Greek, was one of the most precise languages that have ever existed. For example, there are actually about 7 or 8 different words for the word love. Now, in English and in Spanish, we only have one word for love, right? And it applies to everything. You know, I love skiing. I love ice cream. I love my wife. But really, hopefully, my love for each of those are a little bit different, right? Especially for my wife, right? Okay. And Greek has all these different words for it. Like, for example, there's a word for brotherly love, which is philio. Actually, Philadelphia, the city, comes from love of the brother. Adelphos is the Greek word for brothers. Philio, so Philadelphia. And there's eros, which is kind of the more sensual type of love. There's a lot of different ones. But there's another word that the Greek has called agape love. And agape love was God's love. It was pure love. It was totally selfless. It always thought of others. It gave itself for others. And God says, that's the type of love I am. In fact, no one can know agape love or have agape love unless they are what? Truly born again and be regenerated. That's part of the message of 1 John, the book of 1 John, is that only those who've truly been born again can experience agape love. So when the Bible says God is love, He is agape love. And He loves His creation. One verse that probably all of us are very familiar with, John 3:16. For God so what? Loved the world. That's agape. That He gave His only begotten Son. That's an example of agape love. That He gave His own Son, Jesus, to die for us, even though we didn't deserve it. Even though we were rebellious toward Him as a human race. So God loves us very much. We were created by Him, and He loves us. Now, that doesn't mean, however, just because He loves us, that we abide in His love. That's something different. Because notice that Jesus, in that one verse, He says, I have loved you, therefore abide in my love. They're two separate things. Those who've decided to follow Him and receive new life, He calls them His children, the children of God. And that's the first step in abiding in His love. And once we become children of God, He has a new word for us. He calls us beloved or amados. You know, and that means what? Loved. And it comes from that Greek word, agape. We are loved with agape love by God. And that's why many times in the scriptures it would say beloved. Now for us it just sounds like old-fashioned English or maybe old-fashioned Spanish. You know, but that was a powerful greeting or way to call one another. Beloved. Beloved because God loves you so much. Now for those who belong to Him, it's like He provides, I'm not sure how to describe, but almost like there's an umbrella or a protection that underneath is His love. And we are to abide in that love. 1 John, we go back to 1 John. 1 John talks a lot about love, by the way. But 1 John 3, verse 1 and verse 2, it says, see how great a love, that's agape love, the Father has bestowed on us. Literally, that means that He has just showered upon us. That we would be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it does not own Him. Beloved, by the way, there's that word again. We are children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, because He's coming back, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. We are His children, so we're going to be like Him. And He has bestowed upon us. He has showered or, you know how here in Summit County, when we get a lot of snow, we call it what? We don't call it snow showers. We call it, oh, I hope it dumps on us. Well, that's probably the best word to describe God has dumped on us agape love. And He says, stay underneath that protection. The Old Testament uses a word that I've always been fascinated with, and there's not a good translation in English or in Spanish. It's His loving kindness. That's the way, at least the New American Standard does it. Actually, when you type it in on a computer, it always comes up as a misspelled word because it's a word that's only used in the Old Testament. It's often been translated, like in the Old King James, your mercy. Or I think in Spanish, it's las misericordias. But that's really too weak. It includes his mercies, but it includes, it's basically his loving kindness is his arena of love that he's provided for those who follow him. His loving kindness. His loving kindness is mentioned over 180 times in the Old Testament. It was, you know, sometimes people kind of say, yeah, well, you know, the New Testament is a part that talks about God's love. The Old Testament doesn't. No, God's Old Testament talks a lot about love too. It usually refers to it as his loving kindness. Let's take a look at Psalm 36. We won't read all 180 of them this morning, but that would be a good study to do. But let's look at Psalm 36. And you're a lot quicker than I am because you've got it on the overhead. But Psalm 36, let's start with verse 7, maybe verse 5. It says, your loving kindness. No. Well, yeah, we'll start with verse 5. It says, your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. How big is his loving kindness? It starts here and goes all the way to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like a deep, or like a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious, verse 7, is your loving kindness, O God. It's precious. And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. In other words, if we're under the wings of God, we can take refuge and we can experience his loving kindness. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house. And you will give them to drink of the river of your delights. Yes, this is for us. This isn't talking about going to heaven. It's talking about now. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you. That's the loving kindness of the Lord. How about Psalm 33, verse 22? It says, I like the way this says it. It says, let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us. Or another translation, be over us, according as we have hoped in you. His loving kindness is for those who know him, who follow you, him. You know, actually Psalm 23, I just thought of this verse. The last verse of it says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Can you imagine that? It just followed wherever you go. His loving kindness, as long as you are walking with the Lord. Psalm 86, verse 5. It says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. I like that, abundant and loving kindness. Psalm 100. It says, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is what? Everlasting. That means it never, never, never ends. And his faithfulness to all generations. We could go over and over 180 times, actually a little over 180, just in the Old Testament where it talks about his loving kindness. And I encourage you, just kind of start reading through the Psalms. You see it all over the place. It's amazing, his loving kindness. Abiding in his love, or coming under his loving kindness, is something that God wants all of us to experience. It's not to be an occasional thing, brothers and sisters. It says abide in his love. Abide means what? To live there. Not just, well, Sunday morning, I felt the presence of God. I felt His love. Or, oh yeah, you know, I went out for a walk in the woods and, you know, I could sense God's love. Well, you know, that's supposed to be something, that's a place that we're supposed to be living. And it's in the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, abiding in His love. You know, I like that phrase. We kind of already saw it in Psalm 36. It says, it talks about those who take refuge under the shadow of His wings. If we are there, we are protected. We abide in His love. Psalm 91 puts it this way. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Almighty. Another place in Psalm 91, it says, under His wings, we take refuge in Him. He is our fortress. Another place it talks about, He is our high tower. He's our hiding place. See, there is a place that God has for us to abide in, to live in, where His love is there all the time and we can experience it. This is a place of safety. Not just physically, but emotionally too. It's a safe place. It's a place where, well, in 1 John 4, it talks about there is no fear in agape love. So if you're abiding in His love, did you know there's no fear? There's no worry. There's no anxiety. It's the place where there's peace and joy and rest and freedom. It's where we were created to live, is under His wings, in the shelter of the Almighty. That's where God wants. And that's what Jesus was saying when He told the disciples. He says, abide in My love, because you're going to need it. Because one thing, even though there's peace and there's joy and there's rest and there's not fear and there's not worry, He doesn't say that there won't be any challenges or there won't be any problems. In fact, there'll even be tribulation in this world. There'll be persecution. Jesus says all that in that last discourse. Actually, John 16, that last verse, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. That's a peace that surpasses all comprehension. And then He says, in this world you have tribulation. Is that true? Has anyone here ever experienced tribulation? Yes. God never promises to get us away from that. But take courage. I have overcome the world. Because you can still abide in My love. See, sometimes in our human way of thinking, we think, well, His love is where I don't have any problems. No, His love is much deeper than that. His love is where we can sense that He is in control. He's watching over us. We are protected. We may go through difficult things. In fact, we will go through difficult things here on this earth. But He will be with us. He'll be watching over us. And He'll be imparting to us His love, His joy, His peace. Just as the Father has loved Me, He said, I have also loved you. Abide in My love. Okay, so hopefully you got a sense of what it means to abide in His love. Now, harder question is, so how do we do it? How do we abide in His love? You know, you might say, I want to abide in that place. I want to live there. How do I do it? Well, I guess there's a lot of things we could say about it. We're supposed to abide in Him. We're supposed to have faith. But there are two things in particular that Jesus mentions in this last discourse that are important to know if we want to abide in Him. You know what they are? I thought you did. Okay, let's go back to John 15. Verse 9, let's read it again. Just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. And then verse 10, I think that's the one that's up there. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's keeping his commandments. That's the condition. Look back. This isn't the first time he said this. Look back to chapter 14. How about verse 15? If you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. Or how about verse 21? He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him. And this is kind of an amazing promise. And I will disclose myself to him. I will let him know me, is another way you could say that. He says, abiding in my love is important, but you've got to follow my commandments. How about verse 23? He says it again. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Again, keeping his word. I remember a long time ago, I was at a leadership conference in Minnesota, actually. I was talking to a couple of people from Minnesota this morning, and Bemidji. And there's a man, and there's a group of people together, and I can't remember the context, but we're talking about a brother who was kind of wayward, kind of always kind of just going out there. And someone said, yeah, but he loves the Lord. And I remember this one guy said, no, he doesn't love the Lord. And we kind of said, what? How can you say that? If he loved the Lord, he'd be following his commandments. And I thought, yeah, he's got a point. That is biblical. Do you remember that, Judy? Yeah. And now, it's probably important for us to know that Jesus' emphasis was not rules and regulations. Like in the Old Testament, actually, his standard was even higher than that. He kind of summarized it this way. He said, and he drilled these into his disciples. He said, it's really about following him, loving God, abiding in him, loving one another. Like, go back to John 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. What, a new one? Actually, he said a little bit later, a little bit earlier, this sort of summarizes all of them, that you love one another. And by the way, he threw in that word agape love. They thought, I don't know, maybe I'd rather go back to the old way. No, they didn't really think that. But he says, even as I have loved you with agape love, that you also love agape one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples. In other words, this is going to be our trademark. If you have love for one another. That's what he's talking about. Living for him. Following him. Our lives have to be given to following and obeying him. Keeping his commandments. Not making a lot of excuses. If we really love Jesus, then we follow him. Because that's, and follow him means to what? Do what he says, go where he goes, to be like him. Okay, so the first thing that this Jesus tells his disciples, if you want to abide in me, it's got to be because you are following his commandments. Now, are we going to fail? Of course we are. But the difference is, if we're truly following him, we may fall, but what do? We get back up and start following him. There's something else he mentions. And let's go back to John 14. See, Jesus was getting ready to leave. Just kind of get the context. He was going to be crucified, be going up to heaven. He was going to leave the disciples there. And Jesus kept telling his disciples, you're going to be doing this and you're going to be doing that. And I'm not going to be here. And they were getting a little kind of worried about this. Well, what do you mean? I thought we were in this together. I thought, you know, when you're around Jesus, we feel safe. And he says, no, actually, one time in John 14, he says, it's to your advantage that I go away. It's to your advantage? How's that? He says, because I'm going to leave someone with you called the Helper. Let's read about it. John 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Helper, and he will be with you forever. Now, the Greek word there is parakletos. It's another one of these words that can't be translated. It literally means to come alongside of, to help, to comfort, to intercede, to be an advocate. There's no one word that says it. And he's referring to what? The Holy Spirit, right? He says, that is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And then he says, I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. See, how is it an advantage that the Holy Spirit come? Because, see, when they were walking with Jesus, when they felt, you know, when Jesus was right there, they felt secure, didn't they? But the problem is, Jesus couldn't be in Jerusalem and Galilee both at the same time. He couldn't be off praying and with the disciples at the same time. But the Holy Spirit, who's going to come, will be with us all the time. He is with all of us all the time. And he is our parakletos. That's the Greek word. I'm probably saying it with the Spanish accent, but that's, I don't know what the Greek accent is. But anyway, that was his gift to us. And he's going to always be with us. He's going to, actually, when we become born again, he comes to live inside of us. Now, there's also being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's another subject. But the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And he will comfort us. He will help us. He'll be our advocate. He'll intercede for us. He'll teach us. Actually, Romans 8 says, he continually intercedes for us. That's kind of a nice thought, isn't it? You might say, I thought Jesus was at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He is. And we also have the Holy Spirit inside of us interceding for us. Listen, if we got Jesus interceding for us continually, and we have the Holy Spirit interceding for us, we're in pretty good shape, aren't we? Sometimes people come up to me and they say, Mike, can you pray for me? I said, sure, you can pray for yourself, but I can pray for you. I just feel better if you pray for me. I guess because I'm a pastor or something. What's even better? Jesus praying for you and the Holy Spirit praying for you. He does that continually. This is our parakletos. He's our helper. And throughout this discourse, Jesus is telling his disciples they will be helped and led into all truth because the Holy Spirit's with them. And he's there in every believer. And he will help us follow his commandments and remain abiding in his love. Of course, he hasn't left us as orphans. Of course, it means we've got to listen to him and we need to abide there. So one thing that's very important is we've got to obey his commandments. And second thing, we've got to let the Holy Spirit take over our life. Our life needs to be ruled by the Holy Spirit. It's not like we have to follow his commandments by ourselves. He's there to help us. If we try to do it ourselves, what happens? Something all of us know. We fall. So we need to have the Holy Spirit helping us. By the way, look at verse 26, John 14. He says it again. But the Helper, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Or John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from my Father, he will testify about me. And then again in chapter 16, he talks about it again, about how he'll guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit's very, very important for us in this Christian life. Very important. Yes, we live in a world of tribulation, but there is a place of peace and joy and rest. It is his love. And we are called to abide, or to live in his love. I mean, what a blessing. But it's something I'm afraid that many Christians know too little about. In conclusion, abiding in his love is what the Christian life is all about. You might say, but aren't we supposed to serve him too? Yes, we are. But we're not going to be able to serve him effectively unless we're abiding in his love. If we're abiding in his love, service is something we want to do. It's not something obligation. And out of that flows a power and an anointing, because we're ministering from the love of God. And we can share the good news, the gospel. A couple questions. Do you know the love of Christ? I'm not asking, are you born again? Because it's possible for someone to be born again and then they keep living the same way. They're living out there and they don't realize they can kind of come in and know the love of Christ. And so the second question is, are you abiding in his love, in the love of Christ? You know, today we're going to have a water baptism. And Despina is an example of someone who's decided to follow Jesus, keep his commandments, and walk by the Holy Spirit. And if she, like all of us, can live under his shelter, in his shadow, we will abide in his love. And it's a promise that God has for all of us. In fact, Jesus, he exhorts us, abide in my love. Amen? Father, we just want to thank you for your great love that you've bestowed upon us, that you've dumped on us. And Lord, it's not supposed to be just a once in a month type of thing or once in a year. It's to be continually. You've invited us to abide in your love. Lord, there's some conditions. One is that we have to follow you. We have to follow your commandments and keep them. Lord, we commit ourselves to doing that. And Lord, we also need that helper, that paracletos, to help us. And Lord, we thank you for that gift, that you have not left us as orphans, but you've left us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and to keep us in your love. Thank you, Lord. Amen.